Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'll try to take a high-level overview of where we are seeing trends in healthcare industry and how technology can meet some of the expectations and solve the business problem. So probably first half of the presentation, I want to see what's driving healthcare. I mean, healthcare is a big challenge for all of us. It's 17% of the GDP. We have enough regulations from Affordable Care Act to ICD-10 to home healthcare. So there's a lot of changes happening. So how can technology help with these things? Obviously, some of the trends happening on the clinical side, like the first genome sequencing cost is what, roughly $2 billion, and right now we could do it probably for a few thousand dollars. So the combination of innovations in genomics and the combination of that genetic data with electronic medical records can be enabled with technologies like cloud computing, right, where we can get personalized medicine based on individual's personal health history. So there are a lot of things that can be done. It depends on where people are. On the payer side, obviously, there's a shift towards retail market, right? I mean, the Affordable Care Act is one way where 40 million uninsured people can have access to low or subsidized healthcare. That is changing the way payers do their underwriting and risk management and launch new products. Now, we'll have to see next year when the next renewal comes up what will happen to the premium, but from a social benefit standpoint, it's a good thing, but it's also challenging for companies to create more care management systems because I think 5% of the people consume 90% of the cost. And those come into cardiac, diabetes, cancer. And IBM has been working a lot on cancer research, leveraging on technologies like Watson's or predictive modeling and bringing personalized medicine to things. So we have been doing pilots with Cleveland Clinic, Mayo Clinic, MD Anderson Cancer Research Center, and we're driving some of the innovations in that space where we can bring personalized medicine leveraging technology. So as we see, I mean, analytics is a big thing. I mean, there is a market shift happening, technology is changing, markets are converging, there is marketplace, and but the big part, I would say that what really matters is making sure people are healthy. And can we get the desired outcome from our healthcare system? Is it cost effective? And one technology where I would really see that making that impact in the marketplace and industry is analytics. And how we use it, where we use it, a lot depends on who you are. So it's not a same solution for everybody. If you're a device medical manufacturer, the Internet of Things will drive a lot of innovation, right? For Siemens, it's a slightly different approach where we can use Internet of Things to get sensor data, use those sensor data, couple with the behavioral data and the medical data to provide better care management. Use your automatically your cell phone ringing or giving you a message that my blood sugar is low, take a medicine. That's one way for device manufacturers. If you're a hospital, can the nurse proactively call someone to make sure they are not coming to ER? Because ER visits are expensive, it's a system cost for all of us. I mean, if you are an insurance company, you don't want people to go to doctors. You want to make sure they're healthy so you don't have to pay claims. So it depends on who you are and what you're trying to do and how technology can help get you to that space. Right? And from a technology standpoint, the four major aspects we see, as I think you might have heard yesterday, were Michelle Rednick was talking the CAM spot, right? The cloud, mobile, analytics, and social. So every single organization really needs to understand how can we leverage these technologies to drive new growth, create new markets, and change and evolve our business models? I know people look at cloud saying, okay, I can save some cost on the OPEX side and move CAPEX to OPEX and tell IT manager, okay, cut your 10% budget. That's low-hanging fruit. That's fine, but that's not what real value is. Real value is to use cloud computing on the systems of engagement side, drive innovation, create new markets, create new products, and that's where I see and IBM sees a lot of opportunities for businesses to transform and create new markets. And people who adopt cloud obviously have competitive advantage. They'll be leaders in their market segments. And it's very tough for people who don't do anything to catch up. At some point, people, I think not doing cloud is a much bigger risk than doing cloud. So I would say make sure cloud is an integral part of your IT strategy. Understand where you do it. And I would say start off small. Start with the internal private cloud internally. If you have a data center, you have IT teams, it's not that hard for them to start off the internal private cloud. That's relatively straightforward. So you get your financial benefits from the cloud, and you also have the data in your facility, so you don't have to worry where it's hosted, like public cloud. So internal private clouds is big area where we are seeing. I mean, I support all of US federal government, DOD, IC, civilian, and I can say that 70% of US government is going with private clouds and there's only 30% that's others. And it depends on where you apply. Again, is there anybody from US Federal here? No? One? Okay, I got it. Yes, Thomas. It's an important, I mean, recently we have seen news, especially transparency is a big part of healthcare. I mean, there is cost and there are tools like cost comparison. I mean, today I think most people have choices. If we go to a provider, we can compare costs of a x-ray across multiple facilities in your provider network. Probably nobody does it. We go to the same clinic where we go, we pay them what they ask, and we're assuming insurance will cover, but there are cost transparency tools. You can sign up on your mobile devices, and you have the choice, and there is a huge difference, especially if you're on a HSA plan or where you can keep the money with you, it's a much better deal. I mean, a few years back, I signed up for a HSA plan. I'm going to take it as first $4,000, it's me, then it's 80, 20. And at the end of 3-4 years, you realize you have $10,000 in your account. So when you change your job, that money is yours. It's like 401k. So it's a great way to make sure you take personal responsibility for your health and leverage some of the innovative models and also make sure you're healthy, right? It's not that always insurance is going to cover 100%. I mean, they can, but it comes at a huge cost. Especially with the younger population shifting to high deductible consumer directed products, and the risk pool becomes higher risk, which means cost goes up. So I mean, it's a simple underwriting mechanism how insurance works, right? So where we see the value is obviously collaboration, partnership. The personalization of health is a big part where genomics and EMR combine and how the personalized medicine can drive innovations. And talent is a big part. I know some of the healthcare organizations are not like IBM or Microsoft, but there is a way for people to start jumping in and starting doing some innovative pilots, depending on where it is. I mean, sensor integration, using care management pilots with a specific population group, if you're a hospital, integration with the health exchanges. So there are many things that organizations could do to improve the outcome, increase the quality, and reduce the cost. But it has to be from a business strategy perspective. It's not that cloud computing will solve all the problems, but cloud is definitely an enabler that can solve the problem. So the way we see where the industry is going, obviously we all heard access, quality, and sustainability is a big part for most healthcare, and the trend is moving towards personalized healthcare and predictive analytics. Predictive analytics is fairly important. It can be applied in multiple perspectives. Healthcare is one part. If I know the genetic history of my ancestors and the gene mapping, there could be certain specific things my doctor can advise me what I could do to avoid that risk. Because for one of the projects my colleagues at Watson Research Lab was doing with molecular biology is on brain cancer. So I believe there are 140 genes that cause cancer, and they have studied for a sample population of patients what is the impact of a drug on the specific gene, and they realize, oh, this particular drug will not work for you because of certain mutations, and they can change the therapy. Instead of spending 3 years in chemotherapy and wasting time and money, they can get a personalized, most effective treatment for that patient. So technologies like Watson in healthcare are driving many of those innovations, and some of the leading healthcare institutions are adopting that technologies very well. Again, interoperability and integration is important because healthcare is a complex entity. There's providers, payers, health exchanges, there's regulators, there's enough entities. So obviously your enterprise architects and CTO's office would be a good friend where they can create a foundation for you to support the new evolving business needs. Now coming back, obviously tech computing has come a long way from 1900s. IBM's a 100-year-old company, right? We started as computing and tabulation machines, and today we are talking about natural language processing, big data, and helping physicians create the Watson Pathways project, where we can provide evidence-based report to a doctor telling, okay, these are the options for this patient based on his health history. So we have come a long way from doing simple data processing and computing systems to becoming a doctor's personal assistant and technologies. And eventually, at some point, I see these getting into probably in driverless cars or when robotics take up a little bit more. The software will become the brains for the where machines are more becoming more intelligent. So this is just a beginning. I would say we are in a very exciting phase. There's a lot of things happening. I know a lot of things have happened in the last 20, 30 years, internet and emails, all those things. But I think next 20, 30 years, it will be very different, and it's better to be open-minded and adopt some change, and we'll be ready for the future in a much, much better way. Now, coming to cloud, what is IBM doing with cloud? So IBM is probably everywhere in cloud. We do infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, software as a service, internal private cloud, hosted cloud, hybrid cloud. So obviously we have a broad gamut of capabilities. Now, I would highly recommend starting off the internal private cloud as the first step for anyone. That's a lot easier. It's just building up on top of your virtualization, and there are fairly robust technologies like OpenStack that's standards-based. I think a lot of people, at least in the federal government, are using OpenStack Cloud. And what IBM did for our infrastructure as a service capability, we embraced OpenStack, our underlying foundation. But that doesn't mean we just take OpenStack and wrap it and call it something. So we made sure we create a heterogeneous cloud management software that can support multiple clouds. So we can manage VMware, Hyper-V, ZVM, Power-VM, Bare Metal, we can manage Amazon. So from a single pane of glass, we can manage multiple clouds. So what happens, let's say I start off with a small internal private cloud with 200 VMs or 300 VMs and start all the development environment in cloud. So we say, okay, from now on, for this year's budget, we want to make sure all the development environment is in your internal private cloud. So it's not a big change. Somebody logs into a portal and creates your X VMs, download, puts your Red Hat, whatever operating system you want, select your web server, your Java developers write your programming codes or creates a product. So that's very simple, but advantage is now you're standardizing your architecture, you have single image that goes across your line of businesses, and you're providing them flexibility. Instead of telling use A or B, you can manage multiple scenarios. There might be team A who wants to use VMware, team B wants to use Amazon, team C wants to use something else. But you can manage everything from a single area where your IT operations is now seamlessly integrated. So cloud is now an integral part of your data center strategy. So that's a great way to go. And so OpenStack is an infrastructure as a service capability, and Cloud Foundry is based on our platform as a service. Now that's something we launched recently. So we have two ways. One is an appliance model with pure application server, which is a platform as it's an appliance you can put in your facility, or you can use a hosted platform as a service where people can collaborate across the ecosystem and leverage capabilities like DevOps to drive some innovation with continuous integration. So we have a rational brand with our core product, which is continuous integration. So the key part when selecting a vendor, I would highly recommend, make sure it's not a vendor lock-in. It's open standard, you can go in, come back when you want. It's not a one-way street. So I would always say, learn from the things we did for manufacturing in America many years back. So don't repeat it. So hopefully we learn something from it and ensure that it's a strategic plan. It's not just a cost that I save 10%, let's take off systems and put it in some vendor's place, but use cloud as a true enabler to drive innovation and figure out where that innovation is going to come. And technology will help you. I mean, typically your IT leader should be able to work closely with the CEO and the business leaders to drive that growth opportunities. So having an open standards-based cloud is very important, and depends on what you do, how much risk you want to take. You can figure out you want to go with the internal private cloud, hosted private cloud, or public cloud. That's depending on your business risk tolerance and what you want to do. So where were we? See, I mean, if you categorize the three layers, infrastructure as a service is the bottom one. So with OpenStack Cloud, IBM's product is called Smart Cloud Orchestrator, where we can support compute, storage, network, dynamically provision it from a portal. And on top of it is the platform capabilities, where we use continuous integration products on top of it, like Rational Open Code. And then SaaS is still, especially the API economy, I mean, that's where we are betting our future. We think, so with the Bluemix platform, what we did, we opened it up to the world. And it is a way for industry to contribute their API. So if you have some idea, let's say barcode scanning, you can put up your API in that marketplace and anybody could download it, and there's a monetization. It's like Google's App Store or Apple App Store. It's a very similar concept, but it's not limited to just mobile. So these APIs can be used inside your product development, in your software systems, or in your devices. So now you're getting more broad use of your APIs, and companies can innovate around that. So what we did, we have also opened up our Watson platform. The Watson was created with almost a $5 billion cost, and it's very tough for IBM to go and find 10 people to buy that. So what we did, we opened it up, right? Open it up and say, okay, here's the Watson platform. It's a fully supported natural language processing AI-based engine. Use it, do what you want. and people use it for cybersecurity, for preventing APTs, can be used in healthcare. So it's up to your creativity, right? What do you want with the platform that's available? So as you see here, I mean, there are multiple layers of cloud, so it gets complicated when people start talking about all these AAS, the infrastructure, platform, software, and as an organization, you need to understand where you're focusing. Obviously, repeatable thing, your HR application that gets your resumes, I mean, it could all probably be a SaaS application, expense management reports, things like that are common things for most people. But there might be something very unique to your business, which is your core capability, and that's something you need to build on it, and how can cloud use that core capability and expand your business value, drive new revenues, and create new markets. So how can technology help drive new opportunities for your business? I think that's the fundamental question. And yeah, it's changing. The role of a CIO is changing in many organizations. Instead of saying, I maintain what I have, I get $X million budget, I keep lights on, that role is changing. I mean, CIOs are really partnering with the CEOs to say, these are the new technologies coming in, and this is where we can help you. So there's a lot of focus on innovation and creating new markets, and there's a lot of higher responsibilities to get the business growth on IT leaders. And I want to mention, as people start creating internal private clouds, now you have multiple teams working on four parallel releases on the same base code. How do you manage that in a cloud environment, right? So we have products like Rational Urban Code that can manage continuous integration, where you have one single code base and you can have multiple versions of that product teams working on it in parallel. You could have a product team in Germany doing something on security, a team in Israel doing something on network interfaces, and a team in India doing something on databases. And the product manager can bring all those things together, where you have much more nimble releases. Instead of having a product release every 6 months, you could have a release every day. And we have made sure that the continuous integration, DevOps, is integrated into our cloud offerings. And we did it in such a way that I really liked what IBM did. Instead of telling people to replace what you have, we can seamlessly integrate your existing ITIL ITSM processes. You're using something for monitoring. Let's say you're using ArcSight for SEIM. That's fine. You're not saying rip and replace your log management system. Keep what you have, but leverage the benefits of the technology to create the new capabilities in your organization, right? So this is a sample system, how our DevOps product work, right? So you have integration to production-based code, to App Store. So you can release, so how you're integrating your systems of records, right? That's your internal systems, what IT supports. And how you're driving new innovations and systems of engagement. And you're using the same code base to drive both. And it's a very unique and new way to do things. And obviously Google and Amazon, they've been doing it a lot, like thousands of releases in a month. And I think more and more vendors are catching up to that fast pay of doing things. That's where we see Facebook doing hackathons and rolling out products on weekends, right? So it's a tough way, and it's a good way to attract young talent. They would enjoy working in this free space where they don't have to wait for somebody to assign them a server. They could go self-provision their server, install software, write their code, and there's nothing to lose, right? It's just, it's in a very contained environment, and it's fairly secure in your facility if it's a private cloud. So this is the Bluemix. I think there's a free beta available. Anybody could sign up. You can play around with it, see what it does. I just want to throw it out there. And where are we? Yeah, SoftPlayer is an acquisition we did recently, probably last year. It's a $1 billion acquisition. And this is a hosted cloud capability from IBM. And it's an option, right? So we have an internal private cloud offering and a hosted offering. Obviously, we needed something to compete with Amazon. So that's an acquisition we did. And it's fairly good. It has a bare metal capability. So unlike other vendors, you can provision VMs. With SoftPlayer, you can provision bare metal service. And it has, every single VM has spiny cards. So you have two for private networks, two for public networks, one for out-of-band networks. So we make sure that there's a lot of flexibility in how you want to configure your servers on the cloud. So you could have a private network, still have a hosted private cloud. And it's fairly good, and I think it's probably cheaper than Amazon, to the best of my knowledge. But I don't want to make it a sales pitch here, but this is the most popular product that I'm seeing going very well in most of our customer base. Last year, IBM did roughly $4.5 billion business in cloud, just cloud computing. And this is the internal private cloud software. It runs on any hardware. It need not be on IBM hardware. It could be any hardware, whatever you have. But it provides you with a fully supported OpenStack cloud and a heterogeneous platform to create internal private cloud. And it takes probably 1 or 2 weeks to get it up and running. It's a fairly straightforward product. It's based on OpenStack Cloud, but it also supports all the hypervisors. With ability to burst out to any public cloud of choice, including Amazon. So in fact, in the demo I have downstairs in IBM booth, I can show you how we can take a private cloud, depending on the workload, burst out and make it a hybrid cloud dynamically. So we have capabilities for auto-scaling, and we have built-in rules engine on top of OpenStack. That's how it's done behind the scenes. And these are some of the acquisitions we did recently. I mean, I don't think it's much relevant, but IBM is investing a lot into our growth strategy. And what I see is that make sure that we are focusing on the patient. I mean, that's all I can say. I mean, technology is just an enabler, but focus on the end customer, that we are really improving healthcare, leveraging the technologies, irrespective of what technology we use. But as long as we are focusing on the patient, providing better healthcare, I think that's all is the way I have to say. Thank you for your time. I think I'm out of my time. Sorry, Sally.
Thank you. That's okay.